Oh, you're doing a little
Boys of Summer, Jimmy?
Hell yeah.
It's the wrong version.
It's the right version.
The right version is Don Henley, Boys of Summer. This is the Ataris, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Weak. I love that Strom brought the prop.
He got the always prop. I like the prop.
Every appearance better. Steven Strom is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He's one of the radio voices for your Miami Marlins right here on WQAM. Marlins begin a 6-game homestand tonight at Lone Depot Park. Got the Mariners in town for 3 and then the Guardians for 3. And there should be massive fan support because as we sit here right now, the Marlins are a wild card team. Are you shocked, Steven, at just how good they've been in June, now July, and the fact that they are sitting here in a wild card position?
Yes, I am. I'm shocked. I'm shocked about the 20-6. I'm shocked about how they did it and when they did it. Yes, I am. Now, I thought they were a good team coming into this year. I liked a lot of the pieces, but how they have come together in what was like an influx starting rotation, it's been incredible. And it's no longer a run now, guys. It's no longer, oh, it's been a nice hot team for a couple of weeks. They've been one of the best teams in baseball. If you actually look back last year of June, they've been the fifth best team from a record standpoint back in 2025, starting in that month of June. And they have carried it over. They were 8 games under 500 on May 31st. I mean, this is unheard of what we are experiencing. They're going for win number 50 on the 7th day of July. It took them last year until July 28th to win their 50th game. Yeah, I am shocked, Hawk.
Strom, what's the answer? Well, I know we're getting to the Yuri stuff and the pitching stuff and Clayton McCullough's decisions. But like you said, from May 31st to now, what changed? Because I always talk about bats. I'm a very, you know, my son plays baseball. Hit the damn ball and we'll figure it out from there. I always talk about bats, but everybody else wants to talk about offense. Like, what happened from May 31st to now?
Well, the offense was definitely a big part, and it was a big part of the 3-game series in Sacramento. We knew that they were going to hit in Colorado and Sacramento. Those 12 home runs they actually had in Sacramento in 3 games is the most in franchise history in a 3-game set. But to answer your question, like, what I believe in truly, it's Joe Mack. Like, to me, Joe Mack has changed the complexity of the season. He has caught 16 runners. They're no longer trying to run on him. I use this analogy. I forget whose show I was on, but like, think of Rudy Gobert as a center, guys that go to the lane and then pull back out. He leads the league in never minds. Joe Mack is doing that now. Like, people don't want to run on the Marlins, and they were doing that at an insanely high clip. I mean, they went from giving up the most stolen bags in baseball to now having a legitimate arm back there that is also hitting. So I think, like, since Joe Mack has gotten up here, it's a domino effect. He catches runners. Guys on the mound don't worry about it as much. They can throw their breaking balls in the dirt if there's a runner on third. Guys don't have to throw as many pitches. It's a complete domino effect. Quarterback is the most important position in football. I think that other than the pitcher, having a great defensive catcher is vital to a team's success.
You tweeted a couple weeks ago, I think it was right before, maybe it was last week, right before Otto Lopez got the All-Star nod. You compared his stats to Hanley Ramirez in 2010 when he was an All-Star. I loved Hanley. Absolutely loved Hanley. I have vivid memories of going a pro player with a Hanley Ramirez jersey. Now Otto's a starter, or I'm sorry, he's going to the All-Star game to represent the Fish. Has he kind of separated himself right now as the Fish's best position player this season? Because there were a couple guys last year that we were kind of hoping would carry over that momentum, but it feels like Otto Lopez is that dude right now.
And I didn't get to watch Hanley, obviously, down here in Miami. I wasn't here. I was in New Jersey watching, you know, A-Rod and all those guys. But yes, he has. And this is something that we were told over the offseason by the manager. Clayton McCullough told us he usually gives us a guy to click over the offseason. Actually, last year it was Edward Cabrera who ended up clicking. And this year it was Otto Lopez completely. I mean, the defense that we get every single day at shortstop, him running the bases, it's hard. Like when you look at his baseball savant, this is a good one for you, Hawk, to get advanced analytics so we can really get a baseball in your hands.
All right, I'm ready.
BaseballSavant.com. If you go to Otto Lopez's heat zones, which is heat showing zone. The plate,
all right.
Everything is hot. I mean, I don't even know how he's hitting balls out of the zone. He's hitting balls in the zone. It's hard to pitch to him right now. What is he hitting? Like 330? I mean, it's unbelievable. Let me see here. Otto Lopez, player of the week, 346. He's 123 hits. He's 39 multi-hit games. It's July 7th. I mean, it's unheard of. 39 multi-hit games. It's the most since Miguel Cabrera. He already broke the record. So, yes, to answer your question, Otto Lopez has been the best position player, and I don't even know if it's honestly close right now.
I hate his batting stance though.
Why?
It just looks weird. He's all down low and he wiggles the bat high, and his back foot is front
but
foot.
It's working for him.
I know it's working for him. I just hate it. I don't enjoy his pre-pitch stance.
I like the fact, though, that if Lori catches me on my phone checking out an internet site late at night, I can say, well, I'm checking out a heat zone. Looking for heat zones here. Let's see where that leads. All right, let's bring the heat here. So let's talk about the decision to pull Yuri after seven perfect innings on Sunday.
Why didn't we just start with this? We knew this is where you wanted to go, you media jackals.
So
like, come on.
Clayton McCullough has explained his decision-making. And we all understand it, by the way. I do understand it. I even said yesterday on the show, had Yuri been pitching a no-hitter, I'd have been all for pulling him. Because a no-hitter, while special, is not as special as a perfect game. I totally disagree with Clayton McCullough stealing an opportunity from someone that they will probably never see again in their career. So I'll ask you, and I know you and I have texted about it. I know that you ultimately agree with the decision to pull him. Were you shocked, though, when you saw at the end of the seventh that he really wasn't going to be back out there?
No. No, I wasn't shocked.
You're a liar.
Again, like Yuri. So it's funny. I'll get to the question in a second. But, you know, 2 weeks ago, we had a chance to watch Sandy break the all-time franchise lead in strikeouts. And in the dugout was 23-year-old Yuri Perez, who is next to Sandy with his locker, who has followed in his footsteps. And, you know, looking at Yuri taking that moment was kind of like, you're going to break all of those records. Like, that is going to be, you should be the strikeout leader. You should be the innings pitch leader. You should be the game started, all that kind of stuff. So I think it's just funny, you know, a week and a half later, we have this big thing. I was not surprised because he's coming off the IL, and for what Clayton said in his post game is 100% true. We need Yuri in the second half. Now, what do we need? If he throws 110 pitches, is he fine? We don't have that answer, you know, but we do have a guy that had Tommy John surgery that hurt his gracilis, which is on the inside of your thigh. Have fun with that, Hawk.
I'll check that out.
This is someone on Savant. Yeah, check that out. Baseball Savant.
Inside of the zone. Thigh, grillis.com.
It really comes down to a 23-year-old.
Lori,
kid.
I'm sorry. I'm just doing what Steven Strom told me to do on the radio.
Checking out the grillis.
I knew what I was doing there. But it comes down to Yuri Perez is a prize jewel in this organization. And as much as I know there was a lot of fans, it was actually really surreal being in that environment and listening to that crowd in Sacramento. I'm the first to say that. But the reasoning behind it, it's like, and Clayton said it postgame, like, we need him. If we want to get to the postseason, like, we need him. He was on a pitch count. We felt good about where he was at. And that's that. You know, Marlins, thank goodness, because this could have gotten way worse. And I know that if the Marlins would have lost that game, we're probably still talking about it. But I love at this point on July 7th that we are having, this is the complaint. Like, oh my God, like Yuri had a perfect game. And I got to be honest with you, like, there's going to be another time where Yuri's going to be in that situation. I don't know if it's going to be the seventh. I don't know. You want to bet?
Yes, there's been 24 perfect games in Major League Baseball history. He will never go into the seventh pitching a perfect game again.
All right, let's.
And I love Yuri Perez. And by the way, I wore a Marlins hat yesterday, saying I think it's funny that we can have this conversation about a terrible decision and still we can celebrate the Marlins and everything that they're doing. But no,
Rod Allen said he'll take that bet too. He's just screaming. Well,
tell Rod that I'm in on that one. I asked Rod to come on the show a few weeks ago and he couldn't come on the show.
He asked you to come on the show. Put on your headset, Rod. I mean, we could put you up real quick.
Jim, hey, Hawk, I got your back, Hawk.
Because we got to hear how a radio voice is supposed to sound right here.
Hey, what's going on, fella?
Ooh. Look at that. Rod Allen.
You text me very politely, and I very politely answered and said I was traveling that day, which I was.
True.
And get back at me. I'll be happy to do it.
And did he get back to you, Rod?
Never got back to me.
Oh, he didn't get back to
me. I was in Europe. Wow. Admittedly, I was in Europe, and I was unavoidably detained.
Rod took two weeks off.
Yeah, anytime you want to talk some baseball, man, I'm around, and I love – talking baseball.
But Rod, you can acknowledge Yuri Perez will never have another perfect game going after seven again in his career.
I watch Verlander pitch every fifth day. I watch Randy Johnson pitch every fifth day when I started my broadcasting career in Arizona. And every time they took the mound, dude, you thought they were going to throw a no-hitter. I'm serious. I'm dead serious.
But Rod, Yuri,
when he gets older, he will fall into that same kind of category. Go ahead and say what you're gonna say. Go ahead.
I was gonna say you brought up Verlander and Randy Johnson now. Like that's what we're doing.
Yeah, man. Do you not think Gary at some point in time could end up where those guys are?
I hope so. I'm a Marlins fan, but
man, he can. I've been doing this for 50 years, man. Gary, he could very easily, if he stays healthy and he plays on a team that wins some games, he could end up right where Verlander and Randy Johnson,
or
maybe not the wins, because the game has changed. But stuff wise, he takes a back seat to very few.
Yeah, and especially here, guys, like Lone Depot is a really pitcher friendly. Again, I get why people were so ticked off. Like that's why I wrote on X. I was like, I get people are ticked off, whatever. But when you look at what the bigger picture here is, and that's getting to the playoffs, and that's ultimately winning a World Series, it's like we can legitimately say without laughing. We need Yuri Perez, and he's going to be an integral part to the starting rotation. And I will say that he will have a situation. I don't know if it's a fifth, sixth, seventh. There will be another time where he is that good, where he can have his A stuff and a team can maybe not be great, and he can get to a sixth or a seventh inning with a perfect game.
First inning, second inning.
I will say this, guys, that those of us that are kind of in the know here with this ball club and kind of watch how they've gone about their business the last number of years, we weren't surprised by what he did on Sunday with Yuri, but the rest of the country was. And I'm sure you guys are in that same category. So you guys aren't alone in thinking the way that you think about a special situation, but it was just different regarding Yuri and this team and the circumstances.
I
get where you guys are, though.
I was so angry when I realized he was getting pulled after the seventh that I would have fought Rod Allen. That's how angry.
Please let me come when you do that, because I just don't want you to
get killed. That's how angry I was. And Sunday, I think I could have taken Rod. That's how angry I was.
I'm apologize for him. I'm apologize for him, bro.
Yeah, please, please. Be hiding behind that microphone.
I'd be hiding behind Crowder is what I'd be hiding behind.
But like the thought, I know the analytics, the pitch counts, all the stuff, the numbers, the everything that people put into it, the doctors saying this and that. But like when you have a moment like that, we talked about it with the Dolphins. When Mike McDaniel had a chance to score 73 and he just ran the ball not to do it, where like you see this moment that can happen that's only been done 24 times. Don't you throw all that stuff out the window and just see the moment?
You have an individual player. Football's different. Like you can put in your third string guys and try to get 70 points. Like you can't. Like, I guess it would have been cool to pitch a perfect game for a combined perfect game, but like this is an individual. Again, like, if he was fully healthy, if he didn't have Tommy John, if he didn't just go off the IL, like, yeah, if he didn't, I'd be like, yeah, I'm in your group. But again, like baseball is every day. You need these pitchers, especially what has happened. Like we lost Yuri, we lost Jansen Jung. So again, that's where we stand.
And I will say this too, because I have managed, I mean, not in the big leagues, but I have managed in the lower minor leagues. And one of the things as a manager that you do not want to do, you do not want your pitchers to get hurt on your watch. So you want to do everything that you could possibly do to protect them. And you really can't protect them, but you try to protect them anyway.
There you go. Rod Allen and Steven Strom. We got the Quinella today. That was fun.
I had to force my way in here.
I'll tell you what. No, yeah. We'll have you on this week, but I would tell you what, to reiterate what Strom was saying earlier, we can talk about that decision just because it happens to be great content and to have something to talk about the Marlins coming off that game on Sunday is interesting. But it is July 7th. They are a wild card team. Mm-hmm. They are playing the best baseball in Major League Baseball, and they've got a six-game homestand starting tonight. And by the way, Sunday is Top Gun Hat Day. Marlins have had some of the best giveaways in all of sports, not just baseball. The Flanagan's jersey this season was the most badass Flanagan's mashup jersey that they've done. The Yacht Rock captain's hat is one of my all-time favorite sports giveaways. But when the Marlins host the Guardians on Sunday, there's a Top Gun hat. If you buy the special Marlins ticket, you get a Top Gun hat. Wow. And it looks really cool. I've seen it. It looks really cool. It's got look what Strom is wearing right now. Is that a bucket hat? You got a Marlins bucket hat?
It's reversible.
Oh. They do some good stuff. I want that Top Gun hat, though. I may come to the game on Sunday. I want that Top Gun hat.
When are you coming to the booth, boys?
It's a long walk up there.
I got bad knees, Strommy. I got bad knees.
Is the ice cream machine working?
Yeah, it is.
All right, well, then I'll be up there.
It's working.
Gentlemen, we'll be listening tonight. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Appreciate talking to y'all.
Fellas. I'm going to text you, Rod. You're going to come on this week.
I'm good. Anytime.
All right, Rod Allen joining Steven Strom, and you can listen to the Marlins tonight right here on 104.3 FM WQAM.
Now, eight teams in baseball, Woody, with 50-plus wins. And the Marlins are one of them. 29th in payroll. We can just go on and on about it. 29th in payroll with $80 million. And, again, there's teams that are just awful that are spending three, four times more money. We got two teams over $300 million. One of them's really good and one's really bad. Obviously Dodgers are the best team in baseball, and the Mets are just god awful for whatever reason. That guy just keeps spending money and guys come from other teams and they're injured, they don't play well.
Joe, you got a chance to win a lot of fans back, I think, with this team, right? They're fun to watch now. Again, it's going to come down to what they do at the deadline.
I hope so, man. Because
if they start getting rid of guys at the deadline,
they're not. They're not getting rid of
guys. I can't imagine they will.
They already got guys that they got rid of to get these guys. They're not going to do that.
I hope so, man. I hope they're buyers. So, I hope they find some guys to come in and make a push here. But
well, let's just I want to say this because I probably didn't do a good enough job with it yesterday with the skipper on with us. So his thing he was trying to say he's a good guy. Besides being a really good manager, no matter what happened in the perfect game, he is just a really good manager. I see people still blasting a guy, and I'm like, they're 25-8. The bigger picture for the manager is not to make sure you're entertained, is to make sure he wins games. That's how that's his job. He can't do the other stuff. I wish the guy would have stayed in too, but we need to stop with that. He needs to be fired and awful, and this is why the Marlins are such a bad organ. Like, look at man, do some dogpiling when they're a bad baseball team, because right now they're not a bad baseball team. They're not. It's not even up for debate how good they're playing, they're pitching. They got a bunch of young guys that have a chance. I know a lot of them are only hitting 230, 240, 250, but a lot of them got off to really bad starts, really bad. Stowers has come on. Casey has come on. Mac now, this guy they bring up from the minor leagues, looks like he's not giving up that job, and he's throwing out runners. So we not only have a catcher that can hit, but he's really good defensively. I think he's thrown out. I see Woody, they might have said like 17 guys he's thrown out already. So there's a lot of good stories. But what he said was, getting back to what you said, Woody, and he said, listen, man, I know everybody wants us to get rid of guys, but we like this group. We think we can win. And I was going, you're right. But I want you to add some more to it. I don't know how everybody feels about, they got lucky because they've had a couple of guys at third base that just didn't look the part. Norby just doesn't look like he's going to be a frontline third baseman. Paulie's was over there, but Sanoha's been really, really good. We talked about that yesterday, who's been a utility guy and is now getting a chance to be an everyday player, and it's been really, really good. Venezuelan, who won the championship, and he was a big part of that as well during the World Baseball Classic. So, yeah, man, we got all kinds of stuff. We've got plenty to get to here this morning, and the Marlins are part of it, man. They are. It's been – I don't know where you rank it, man. I can't remember. Anybody remember last time we were 51-42 and tied with the Phillies now for second in the National League East, speaking of spending money? So they've caught up to that team.
You know, it's funny. It's the only sport, right, that – you can do this where you have teams that spend a ton of money. You have teams that don't spend any money, right? Every other league is balanced for the most part, as far as the salary caps go,
yes,
and the amount that they're spending. There's no difference there.
Well, you
right?
know what's
and,
crazy, Woody? So the thing about it is, yeah, usually if you give me four or five teams that spend a lot of money, I'm guessing one or two of them are going to be the best team in baseball most years. Yes, I totally agree. But then you get like, remember a few years ago, Tampa didn't spend any money. That was mm-hmm. a great story. They went all the way through, didn't they play? They played in the World Series, if I'm not mistaken.
They did. Yeah. It was when I was up there in Tampa. They played in the World Series.
So,
yeah.
So you know, Woody, to me, that felt like,
wow. They beat the Red Sox in a 7-game series to win the pennant. It was pretty crazy.
And I'm going, man, Tampa, even if they lose in a World Series, it's a big win for where they play and who goes to their games and everything. And by the way, they seem like they're always – almost in first place, if not in first place. They're in first place right now, ahead of the Yankees.
I actually saw, it was funny, I saw a tweet yesterday about their new ballpark that they're trying to get up there, which they've been trying to get since.
Yeah, for how long they've been trying.
Yeah, they had a model of that thing in the Trop when I was going to those games. That was, I guess, 20 years ago now.
So
like, been a long
I'm going
to
ask you, we did a new ballpark, nothing changed. Nothing changed. The football, they're playing in a football facility instead of a baseball facility. Once we get down there in the iconic Orange Bowl location, and it'll be different. And so I didn't know mm-hmm. for sure. I knew nobody like David Sampson and his father, stepfather. Yeah, yeah. I knew that, but I didn't know for sure. I don't think anybody knew for sure. Like, you know, and they really went after Dade County Hispanic baseball fans. That mm-hmm. was what they really targeted. They just did. And it didn't work. Just didn't work. And they had some decent teams. You saw them. You saw the great outfield.
There are some stars here, yep.
And then I don't know for Tampa. I'm wondering when they get it, because they've got the same problem we do here. They got really good baseball teams, and they don't draw.
So I think Tampa's certainly a much different market. I know it's close by, but I do think it's a much different market than we have here. It's got less of the...
You think a new ballpark?
Yeah, I think it'll work. Tampa's got a much, much less of a, like, we have better crap to do vibe than Miami does, right? Miami's just like, there's a million other things we can do. Tampa people, like, they do care about, like, the Lightning, for example. Like, the Lightning sell out every night.
They turn that into a party, but they've won some championships.
They have. They've played some good hockey.
They actually have been good for how many years now? I mean, even recently,
they've had some
great teams. They got a great team, a really good team right now. We've just knocked them out. They've been knocked out of the playoffs. But
that thing was a genuinely tough ticket, though, to get a Lightning ticket. And they don't have basketball.
Right. No.
So, yeah, I think it would
I don't hear
them
barking
there.
To get a basketball team because Orlando's too close to them.
Yeah, well,
so
they won't get one there.
That's not going to happen. But
such a different market, though, because I feel like Miami really does have that vibe. Like, if the team is not elite, people will find other stuff to do. That's just always been the thing down here, right?
Yeah.
Like, the team's got to be really good, unless it's football. People are obviously going to do the football stuff. But
I just you know, it's funny what we're going through right now and looking at everything, and I look ahead. That's part of what we do. And hey, man, Panthers are gonna make a run. They got the horse. They're gonna make another run.
But the Panthers are a good example, right? I mean, how many years?
Yeah.
Could you couldn't give away a Panthers ticket.
I thought we're gonna lose the team.
Yeah, it did feel that way.
I thought if they don't get the right owner, they're gonna lose the team because they could not figure it out. It was a place they were getting guys were coming down here. I called it the 401k team. They were coming down with money to get that home so all their Canadian family members could go to come down here and get out of those bad winters and hang out on the beach at their homes. And there at the end, and I just felt like we got a lot of those guys, and it was never taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get this group now that they put together with a great GM and head coach and owner. Owner's all in on this, man. When it comes to horses and it comes to hockey, the man is a double H king right now. He truly is. Now, Riley did something. They didn't hit, I thought, a high enough ceiling on all their number one picks, but they're good enough to package together to get Giannis. And that's been one of our formulas, is get a star, get two stars, and then build around it and build this thing back up while you still can get enough out of those veteran players. And that's what they're counting on with Giannis. I think, once again, it gives you a jolt of sports caffeine, I call it, where you go, damn, I'm looking forward to going those games again. I had somebody who was getting ready to give up their tickets, and they go, man, we got Giannis. Jeez, man, that's going to be a fun – I don't want to miss that show. That's going to be some freakish nights. They call him the Greek Freak for a reason. So you got that excitement. The Canes, our football team is, I mean, it's loaded. And that's all I can say. And when you say it now, after what they did last year, even the three first round picks and all the guys that got drafted, they've got themselves a really good team. Through recruiting and through high school recruiting and through the transfer portal, they've really got this thing figured out with the people that Mario has with them, as well as Mario, who's just a relentless recruiter. Like, nothing like this guy. He is that poor wife of his. She must have a big family to go visit, because that dude is always working. And then you got this baseball team, which has just been a great surprise. Just a big, big surprise where they were before June 1st, and to win this many games again has just been incredible. So, I'm curious. We got one more tonight for the sweep, back-to-back sweeps, if they can beat Seattle tonight, and then, of course, three with Cleveland coming in the weekends. And I hope more people get a chance to go out there to the ballpark. And I know we got a World Cup game coming up here that's going to be a great game, 5 o'clock this Saturday at Hard Rock Stadium, Kane and Holland, England versus Norway. By the way, did you see the Norway story? See, Norway had to move hotels. I think they're staying something happened. What was it, in Fort Lauderdale they were staying and had to move? Some crazy story, and the players go, we got to get out of here, and move. So they called FIFA and got moved to a different place. So they could try to get some sleep and everything else. But we're going to quarterfinals for that. But I hope everybody gets a chance to go see a baseball game. If you like baseball, just go out and take a look. Again, I'm not here to sell tickets. I don't care what you do. It's your money. You do what you want. That's not my job. I've always said that from day one when I decided to do this, is not rip fans. I've had other guys here at the station rip them. I'm not telling you how to spend money. Because if, you know, we have this every day. I'll get 10, Woody, we see it all the time. We get 10 text messages that will come in every few seconds. And, dude, why are we not talking about football? Dude, you're not talking enough about this. You're not talking enough about my favorite sport. You haven't mentioned this kid. He's from our backyard. You know, and so you're never getting everybody happy. We got something for everybody. And that's okay. I got a couple brother-in-laws that think hockey's number one. They go, no, hockey's the most popular sport. Right now, hockey's the most popular sport. I mean, and I go, look at man, it is fun what they put together. It's been great, but it's not the most popular sport in this town. But it is for you, and that's all that matters, man. And it's for the sellouts that they get every friggin' night now. And they're growing. I see they're going to keep getting a bigger share of TV. The numbers will continue to go up. There's no question. And then we have the other product. You probably noticed I didn't mention the Miami Dolphins. And it's been embarrassing what we have not done. It really has, to think that we've been on this drought since the start of 2000s. It really is. It's incredible. Everybody asks me, hey, tell me what's really shocked you the most. Or tell you, and I go, let me tell you what shocked me the most, because I've seen it up close. that the Miami Dolphins haven't won a playoff game. Haven't been good enough to win the division to win a playoff game, because that's the formula to finally win a playoff game, is not be a low wild card and go play one of the two or three best teams in your conference and lose in the first round in cold weather. That's been our formula, and it doesn't work. Or we've just gone through, or we just had bad teams or dysfunctional teams.
Maybe that big dumper could take a lesson or two from Joe Mack, I'll tell you that much. What happened to that guy? He had one MVP run in him?
Yeah, that's it.
Is this a...
I mean, like, how many guys, in all fairness, how many guys throughout sports that aren't Hall of Famers or super elite have multiple, you know, multiple...
60 home run seasons is like, where are you going with this?
Well, I'm just saying he was the MVP that year. You thought he was going?
Well, it wasn't. I think he ended up coming up short on MVP, but it was he was an MVP caliber player.
Oh, just say that.
He was right there. He was right there with right there with Judge.
Right. I mean, you're comparing him with Judge, who is all time.
Yeah, well, he's up in the playoffs.
So even all time players periodically have those guys. What about Steve Nash beating Shaq in the MVP race?
Yeah, that was garbage.
But that's what I'm saying.
But he won but he did win back-to-back MVPs.
Yeah.
But he stole one from Shaq.
Right.
It is interesting, because I wonder, like what is the thing that you would want the Marlins to add if they were to go into this thing? Like, what is a piece that they could throw into this? Because, you know, I'd say that you'd want like another bat, but they kind of have this contingent there with their catcher, first base, DH rotation. So you need to get somebody who can also, who isn't a sieve out there either. So I don't know if that's necessarily the place that they're going to go. I think you're kind of
you have confidence in all of your bullpen.
Nobody ever has confidence in all their bullpen. There's no such thing as
that. You know what? That's so funny.
There's no such thing,
because I bet you every team in Major League Baseball is saying, we sure can use open our bullpen.
I don't love Fairbanks. And I think it's just because he does that thing with the glove. Like, it's like, Vlad, you see that thing that he does with the stupid eyes where he's like, he's got the glove up here and he goes, and he's got like the eyes. And I'm just like, dude, you're about to give up a line drive so hard right now. Like, can we just get to the pitch?
My thing with him is like, I guess he has personality, but he tries too much with his personality.
Right.
So when he gets rocked, it's like, yeah, you kind of deserved it.
Like, I feel like...
That's, you know what? That's when arrogance, you almost think it as being cocky or arrogant, and then people, there's too many people root for your demise.
Julian says...
Right? And there's a lot of people in sports that you feel that way about, right? There's people who are confident, but always are humble about it. And then there's people that are cocky about it, and you always root for their demise.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's just, it's his whole thing on the mound just makes me very nervous, because I'm just like, he's right, not looking, and then this feels like it's going to end poorly. And he was their big acquisition in the offseason. That was
but the crazy thing is, you're saying what most of us just think about athletes in general, right? When you see an interview and you see a guy or see a guy play, and he's being way too confident. Like, this usually happens with in basketball with the guys who are deemed defensive stoppers, right? Like, all of them just seem to have this kind of arrogance about them. And then you say, I can't wait for you to get dunked on.
Yeah, but some guys do it cool. Like Peterson goes out there with that Stones entrance. And I just like the way he's got just like a throwback bullpen attitude about him. Like, it reminds me of like Armando Benitez and El Pupo. Like, it's just like little bit of a, you know, big dude, little bit of a lean, you know, and then just gonna bring gas. And I'm like, that's right, a bullpen guy. You know, he's just got so many bullpen guys have quirks. They're weirdos. Now there are guys who are next level weirdos, like Tyler Phillips when he was a bullpen guy, or you know, like a you know. But yes, there are guys whose gimmicks are too much. Heath Bell, for example, total bum. You know, his whole thing was, I'm going to ride in and I'm going to slide on my ass and look at me, I'm Kenny Powers. It's like, no, you suck, dude. I don't want
to. Hey, I remember when, I think at the time I was doing the show. Were we doing the show together when Bell was here?
No, because, no. He, it was, his, right, his,
I think I was doing it with E. Reed.
Yeah.
And I would say he was hated.
Yeah.
He was hated.
Deservedly so.
I remember you guys giving what, like Bum of the Week or whatever.
Tool of the Week, yeah.
No, of the Week, and it was Heath Bell every week.
Well, here's the thing that was crazy about Heath Bell, right? Heath Bell, he was a phony because he comes in here and he's like, oh, I'm the lovable fat closer. They give him a bunch of money, and he was good in San Diego. And remember that year, the Marlins had a reality show. The Marlins had the baseball version of Hard Knocks. It was called The Franchise. And so Heath Bell, we all learned, was a rat because he wasn't just that he was bad, but then like he would be on the reality show being like, why doesn't everybody else talk about Jose Reyes off to a slow start? Why does anybody, like, he'd throw his teammates under the bus.
Right.
And then he had this meeting with Ozzie Guillen where Ozzie Guillen was like, he's like, I just don't feel, he tells Ozzie, he's like, I just don't feel like you have my back. And he goes, you don't think I have your back? Nobody wants you out there. I'm the only one who has your back.
Wait. And you can say that with a lot of skippers. Don't say that to Ozzie Guillen. He going to tell you how it is, right?
Dude.
Oh, my goodness.
He was like, nobody wants you out there. Not the players, not the fans, not my wife, my kids, the owner. Nobody wants you out there. I was like, it was one of the great teardowns of you're being a big baby phony. Shut up.
It is one of the things where people that come out and say stuff like that are just avoiding the reality of what their situation is.
Yeah.
Like, the reality of it is, and you can say what you want about feelings or whatever. I remember, I can't think of who the wide receiver, Edwards, from Michigan, that Cleveland drafted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Braylon Edwards.
Braylon Edwards. And he said one time, they don't like me here because I went to Michigan. And so naturally, who do they call? Another Michigan guy. So Mary Kay Cavett said, hey, Braylon Edwards said, we don't like him here because he went to Michigan. I'm like, no. They don't like you because you can't catch. I said, I had a great time in Cleveland. I'm like, so sometimes you try to hide or we've gotten into a point in time where you can't just eat the failure and do better. It's always somebody else. It's always circumstances. It's always this. It's always that. I have never seen, I want to say athletes, and not everybody, but there's a lot of athletes now that no matter how poorly they play, they come out with some random excuse as to why.
I'm very
right? Just own it.
I'm very thrown off by a comment I just saw on our Twitch. What? Julian says, the Marlins are like appetizers at Chili's. Good, fun, filling. But we're one great move away from becoming a Houston's.
All right. I have to admit. I like where he's going there.
I like where he's going.
But Houston's?
Houston's?
That's exactly it.
Houston's, you need to get out more, brother.
Houston's?
I
would
have went prime 112. Right.
Been, No. They're a couple of steps from being prime 112. Maybe a Morton's.
Houston's Morton's. Is like...
All right, Morton's.
Maybe a Morton's. Houston,
isn't
though,
isn't Houston just a dimly lit Outback?
Pretty much.
Do you panic when you go into a restaurant and eat in this dark? Like, I feel very uncomfortable.
Only place I like that is Herbs and Rye.
You have no choice. It's a dungeon.
I play by their rules.
Vlad, it's a dungeon.
No, but...
You can't see.
I think the Marlins are better than a Houston's. I don't think that, you know, and I don't even know if Houston's is the place. Houston's and Longhorn samesies, right?
Not where I'm going for state.
No, Houston's is no, it's higher scale.
What about
not,
like
not going for steak there immediately?
I think I would actually choose a Chili's right. Probably above a Houston's. Like I love Chili's.
No.
We're not gonna go there.
You don't might like Chili's?
You might love Chili's more than Houston.
Well, here's the thing, Chili's is a more fun atmosphere, better drinks.
Yes,
2-for-1 Margies. Okay.
Yeah. The game will be on.
The games are gonna be on. Cause like I feel like if I go to Houston's, I'm almost you know who's a Houston's? I'll tell you who a Houston's is. The Mets.
Nah.
Think they're a top class organization, but you're just a dimly lit Outback. That's the Mets. They're Houston's. I don't think there's class in a Houston's.
Let's relax here, because at any given moment, Marlins can go cheap.
Well, they are cheap. Well, I mean, think this is what makes everybody furious. It's gonna make everybody furious. See, here's the thing that's gonna be crazy, Vlad. You want to know what's going to be the death knell in the coffin of MLB. If the Marlins go and make a playoff run doing this with absolute coupons, and everyone is going to be looking around here being like, well, because we're headed towards a lockout next year. They're going to be like, no. We need to do something. They're going to try and take Sherman to the poorhouse. That's what they're going to do. Because if Peter Bendix, with his evaluations, which he's done a tremendous job, if he gets this team right now is the same amount of wins as the Yankees. If they make a real run in the postseason, with what they're paying their roster right now, and they pull the Rays, forget it. We are in lockout city for a while, dude.
Well, the highest paid Marlin is going to be Peter Bendix, right?
He is dressing like money lately.
I would say this and. We have this saying back in the hood, all money ain't good money, right? Like a lot of times, and the Dolphins went through this. They just threw money at every situation, right? And it looked good to start, but it wasn't long term. And now you're stuck where you are now because you threw all that money at a situation to try to appease everybody, to try to say, look, we're putting all the resources in our team. We got a new building. We redid the facilities. We all of this, and we get the big name free agents. But you're not winning, right? So I think that now we're a little more accepting of what the Marlins are doing based on how they are playing, and we're going, huh. So throwing money at the situation don't always fix it.
Are the Marlins?
That's how I feel, even though I will say – we've always said, oh, here we go, same old cheap Marlins.
Is Flanagan's the heavyweight champ of Chili's?
You talk about that type of restaurant?
Yeah, like I'm saying.
A chain? Well, locally, you would say, because there's not Flanagan's other places. So
yeah, well, I don't know what everybody else says, I'm saying type of.
You just said Joe Mack is the.
Is an American hero.
Right, he is an American hero.
And all of a sudden now, I don't care about the rest of the world.
My man has, like, he doesn't remember what comes out of his mouth 10 minutes ago.
Absolutely.
Right? So he'll say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm like, you just said Joe Mack was an American
Flanagan's
hero.
Would be, who's the greatest Marlin?
In my opinion?
Well, I know who you, in your opinion.
I mean, I think the most talented Marlin to ever wear the jersey is Miguel Cabrera.
Yes, yes.
So Flanagan's would be Miguel Cabrera.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I would say, but here's the thing.
Ooh, Schmitha said the Flanagan's or Mike Lowell. Mike Lowell is, yes. You know what? Mike Lowell. I like that one, Schmitha.
Gold Glover. Champion.
Yeah.
Part of the community, always been, you know, yeah, local
dependable
guy.
Well, if you're talking about part of the community, you would say Conan.
No, but Mike, I mean.
Phil says.
Mike Lowe's Cuban.
Chili's is the heavyweight champ of Applebee's.
I could see that.
Applebee's is like, got the cigarette and the newspaper coming in the ring.
Applebee's is playing.
No. I tell you what playing is. Bennigan's.
I don't think I've seen a Bennigan's down here. Is that like a Central Florida is probably like the earliest I could find a Bennigan's down here, yeah?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Bennigan's.
Houston should be that says Houston's is the Michael Jordan of Applebee's. I don't, so somebody says, this is crazy. Somebody's like, I had to get on here just to defend Houston's. Their stakes are A+. Am I sleeping on Houston's? Also, I don't even know if I've ever been to a Houston. I've been to a Longhorns, and I do like Longhorns, but I don't necessarily know if a, but a long, I know what a Longhorns is. It's just a gussied up Outback.
Yeah, like there's a couple of restaurants, like when you go Applebee's, Chili's, when you go Longhorn, and what's the other place that's like just like Longhorns. Now, what about Texas?
Texas Roadhouse?
Yeah.
Oh, I like a Texas Roadhouse.
You look like Texas Roadhouse. Hey, Vlad. If I say, Tova, where we going to eat? He
said, you know I love me a good Texas Roadhouse.
Listen, if I disrespected Houston's, I apologize.
So
I just think that Chili's, I don't know, if my wife came to me and says, hey, tonight, Houston's or Chili's, I might go to Chili's.
So wait a minute. So then what's Cheesecake Factory?
That's, oh my goodness.
That's the chill. That's got to be the.
Can I just say this?
That's got to be the Aaron Judge of.
No. Cheesecake Factory is like the Dolphins the last few years. Spend a lot of money, got a little flash, but they only got two good dishes for
Don't it. Disrespect Cheesecake.
I think Cheesecake. You know who Cheesecake. I'll tell you exactly who Cheesecake Factory is. The Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves are Cheesecake Factory. Win a lot of divisions, they'll never win the World Series.
They've won two World Series.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. Like, they got. Look.
Don't compare the Braves
and
the Dolphins.
Their menu is 17 pages long.
I'm not.
But you only eat two things on the menu.
Yeah, no, the Dolphins are. I don't know what the Dolphins are. The Dolphins are not. The Dolphins are not Cheesecake. Cheesecake
you know
Factory.
The Dolphins, are?
Dolphins of Miami the, Scrubs. Miami.
No, what's that? What's that?
I know it's Miami Subs, but I call it Scrubs.
What's the knockoff of Cheesecake? They have. I can't think of the name of it.
I know what you're talking. Grand Lux. Grand Lux.
Yes. Right. Like, they tried to have a little spinoff and fancy it up a little bit.
You guys are making me hungry right now. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm already, dude, look here. I ain't even, like, mm-mm.